Kuf Amud Aleph. We're about to start the Mishnah, except that we have one piece of Gemara that we did not fill in, and that's the Omar Abaye. Okay, then let's see. It's approximately, I would say, 7 lines before the Mishnah. And the first word in the line is V'omar. V'omar Abaye, Bar Birshus HaRabim Amuka Sora, Urechav Arba. So we have now a Rishus HaYochid in the middle of Rishus HaRabim, because the bar has all the measurements we need to create a Rishus HaYochid. It's got 10 Tvachim subterranean, and it's got 4 tvachim square in its width. If it's Malaya Mayim, then Zorak Litocha Chayav. So the Mefarshim here say that if he throws something into the bar, it's going to sink to the bottom of the bar. Why? Because that's what happens when you throw an object into water. So in such a case, Chayav. However, Malaya Peros, if this bar is filled with grains or fruits in such a way that when you throw something in, it's not going to go into the bar. Basically, it'll be caught up wherever the bar is, wherever the Peros are, is Vizorek Litocho Potter. So then when you throw something from Rishus HaRabim into this bar, that's not considered Hotzah, Mishnah Sarab, Mishnah Sayochim, my timer. What's the difference? Maya lo mevatle mechitza, uperos mevatle mechitza. In other words, we have the exact measurements of Rishus HaYochid, that those necessary measurements in this bar. And the question is there a mute, meaning some sort of diminishing of these measurements of the bar that could undermine its status as a Rishus HaYochid? So it depends. If it's Mayim, that is not considered as if it diminishes the measurements of the bar, and therefore the shame, the status of this bar as a Rishus HaYochid is retained, and the Mayim is not Memayit the bar, and if you throw something, as we said before, it will, I'll quote to you, the Meiri says, Im zarkim osam b'mayim, heim shokim b'mayim, right, they sink down to the bottom of the water. Lachain, therefore, ein ha-mayim yichom le'choshev kistima sabar. Right, so the definition of a bar is such that if you throw something into the bar, it will land in the bottom of the bar. And that applies even if the bar is filled with water. However, if the bar is filled with peros or any other solid substance, then that's called peros mevatle mechitza, because, says the Meiri, in such a case, there's no way that you can throw something into this bar and it will land on the bottom of the bar. So in the footnote here, he quotes the Magid Mishnah, who offers a slightly different twist on understanding Abai's distinction. He says, Hachiluk bein mayim leperos, shemayim yochol listakil veliros letocha bar. Now, as we're after talking about transparent, clear water. Once it's clear, then we have halacha called mechitzos nikaros. They could actually visually see the mechitzos, which in this case would be the inner sides of the bar going around. Inside the bar. But in the case of Peros, if it's Malaya Peros, it's Ein HaMachitzos Nikaros. And the Chasam Sofer makes a big deal about this Magid Mishnah, because he says, Lefi Zeh is Mayim Achurim, right, if the waters are filthy, is then it should be Mamayit the bar, because he can't see inside the bar. And the Chasam Sofer is very upset about this. He quotes an earlier tshuva of the Shev Yaakov, which I have here somewhere, And the Shev Yaakov says that even in a case of Mayim Achurim, Afal Pishenu Yochel Liros L'Tocha Bor, Lo Chilku B'Dovar. Despite the distinction in the Magid Mishnah, we never found any distinction in the Halacha here. And Kol She'esh Alav Shem Mayim is Eino Memayit Es Habor. So the Shev Yaakov sees this more in conceptual terms, that does it have the status of Mayim or does it not? Mayim is not Mevatel Mechitzos, and only Peres are Mevatel Mechitzos. Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a Braisa to support Abai's distinction as Zorek Min Ayom Le'Isratio. Now a Yam has the din of a Carmelis, meaning no matter how wide and how deep it is, it's not a Rishus HaYochid, nor a Rishus HaRabim. He picks up an object, and he's standing inside a Carmelis, in this case a Yam, and he throws it into a Rishus HaRabim. So for sure he's going to be Potur, and the reverse is also true. There, so too has Zorek if he throws him in Aistratia. Layam, so he's in a Rishus HaRabim and he throws an object into the Yam, he's Potur, because the Torah never prohibited Hotzah in the case of a Carmelis. A Carmelis is neither Rishus HaRabim nor Rishus HaYochid. But we're interested now in Rabbi Shimon. Rav Shimon Omer, and he's not arguing with the Tanakhama, he's just embellishing the Tanakhama, and he threw from the Rishus HaRabim into the Yam. He says, Yesh b'mokum shezorek amok asor v'rochov arba chayav. In other words, even though the Yam has the status of a Carmelis, but if you can separate part of the Yam and you throw from Rishus HaRabim into that section of the Yam that has the depths of Asor Tfachim and the width of Arba Tfachim, then you'll be Chayev. Now the obvious question is, okay, Mayim is not Mevatel Mechitzos, but this Mayim is part of the Yam. And if it's part of the Yam has the status of a Carmelis. How could be Chayev for throwing something from Rishus HaRabim into a Carmelis? So here, we have a Tosus HaRosh. And the Tosus HaRosh says the following. V'afal pisha kol hayam, hu Carmelis, even though the Yam certainly has a depth of 10 tfachim and a width of 4 tfachim, mikol makom, apparently he dug a bar inside the Yam, mikol makom also bar, came into nivdal mishar hayam. Yeah, I don't know exactly how to engineer this, you know, that the bar is Nivdal Mishar Hayam. I mean, you know, anyway, let's read on in the Tosa Rosh. He says the following. Kevan Shabaru Nivdal Mishar Hayam Hare Rishus HaYochid V'chiyav Rab Shimon Es Azorik Mishus HaRabim Labar Shu Rishus HaYochid Af Shabaru Moli Mayim Hare Muchach She'ena Mayim Mematim Es Abar that's a Tosa Rosh. So I'm thinking that according to Tosa Rosh, maybe there is a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon. And the question is whether you can dig a bar in the middle of a Yam and halachically set up a Rishus HaYochid inside a Carmelis. I mean, to what extent is it separated? So he writes the following. The Kosav Atosa Rosh, Shrevi Shimon Eino Cholek Alachachomim, Elabol Lefarishes Divreim, Shachachomim Omru, Shazorek Me'ayam, Lershus Arab, Mishus Arab Yel Yam Potu, Borav Shimon Lefarish, Shalo Omru Kein El Bistam Yam, Shino Lonofa Achefetz El Yam, V'lolatoch guma shebayam. Avalim zorek mishus harabim v'nofal achifetz toch guma shebayam. Again, it's a pella to me that you can imagine You know, you need deep sea divers here. And they dig a guma, maybe it's in nature, but they dig a guma in the bottom of the yam. Vehunases rishus harabim. I'm sorry, vehunases rishus hayochid v'chayev. Very, very interesting situation where, according to Tosa Rosh, even the Rabbanu would agree that in a case, Lu Yitzur, that you dug a guma, or there is a guma in a yam, then you threw something from Rishus HaRabim and it landed in that guma inside the yam, then that guma in the yam has its own din of a bar and a status of Rishus HaRabim. This despite the fact that it's filled with water. But then he quotes the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Perek Yudal Milcha Shabbos, Bar Sheba Karmelis, if you dig a bar in the middle of a Karmelis, Dino Ke Karmelis. The bar does not gain its own independent status. Says the Tosa Rosh, Muchach Sha Rambam, Sove Shechachomim Cholkim Arabi Shimon. Vesovrim She Bar Biyam, Eno Rishus HaYochid, Ein Dino Rishus HaYochid. So it's really interesting because the Gemara says, Tanya Nami Hochi, as a raya for Abaye, and the Gemara is quoting a raya from, obviously, Reb Shimon, but it comes out that the Rambam holds that Reb Shimon is a Das Yochid. The Chacham rejected Reb Shimon. They don't have such an entity as a Bar Shebiyam. Is him kain kosher eche via gemar raya l'divrei abaye midas Rabbi Shimon hare mavur l'fi a Rambam shechachomim sovrim shaloki divrei Rabbi Shimon the kos of a Rashba sharamam sovr sheav shechachomim lechachomim ein amayim imatim esabar the chachomim also agree to Abaye's principle that water does not diminish the size of the bar, and it remains a Rishus HaYochid, El Shechacham Sovrim, Shebar Amok Asura, V'rochav Arba, B'Karmelis, Hareu K'Karmelis. So the Rashba really fills in that one little piece of the puzzle that we're missing, that even though, according to the Rambam, the Chachamim rejected Rabbi Shimon, nevertheless, the Gemara still quotes this Braisa, of Rabbi Shimon as a riot Abaye. This despite the fact the Chachom would not accept the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, because the Chachomim hold that there's no such thing as a bar, as a Rishus HaYochid inside a Karmelis. But fundamentally, even the Chachomim agree that Mayim is not Mamayit as a bar, but the bar here in this case, which is a Guba inside the Yam, is inside a Karmelis. And a bar inside a Karmelis has the status of a Karmelis. That's the sheet of the Chachamim. But Lu Yitzu, you had a bar that wasn't in a Karmelis. Enochinami, the bar becomes a Rishus HaYochid. And even if you fill up the bar with Mayim, it doesn't invalidate the status of the bar as a Rishus HaYochid, because Mayim are not Mevatlim es HaMachitzos. And that leads us to the Mishnah that we wanted to study today. Hazorek arba amos bekosel. Okay, the man is standing in Rishus HaRabim. We're talking about now havara or zrika arba amos Rishus HaRabim. However, where does the object land? It lands above 10 tfachim in the Rishus HaRabim. So that even though the Torah says yechayev for a malacha called havara in Rishus HaRabim Dalet Amos, but it has to land in Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim goes up to, but not beyond 10 Tfachim. Here it landed above 10 Tfachim, that's not called the Rishus HaRabim. It's Kizorek Ba'avir. Probably the word Avir here means a Makom Ptur, because above 10 Tfachim in Rishus HaRabim, that's called a Makom Ptur. And even though the Chefet somehow, which the Gemara is going to explain with the Gulei Dvela that we discussed in the past, it landed and got stuck on the Kosel. The Kosel certainly has the status of a Makom Hanocha, but this Makom Hanocha on the Kosel is not called Rishus HaRabim unless you're up to, well, unless you're below the height of 10 Tfachim in the Kosel. So the first the first 9.9 tfachim of the kosel, going up from the ground, is called Rishus HaRabim. So if it's nach on the kosel, gets stuck against the kosel, then he'd be chayav. However, if it lands above 10 tfachim on the kosel, that's not a landing in Rishus HaRabim. There's no anoch in Rishus HaRabim. That's a landing in a makom p'tur above 10 tfachim. However, lamata me'asor tfachim, kizorik baritz v'chayav. So now we have a case where it landed on the kosel, got stuck on the kosel, below 10 tfachim, is then he's zorik, the zorik is chayav. And the reason for that is because hazorik chayfetz b'shus haramim v'nocha chayfetz ba'aretz b'merchak shel arba amas chayav. And here it landed four amos into the Rishus HaRabim on a kosel below 10 tfachim, which means it landed in Rishus HaRabim. That is the Mishnah. The Gemara says the following. What are you telling me that if it landed below 10 tfachim, he's chayav, for holo nach? You know, you throw something at a kosel and it bounces back, it ricochets. That's not called hanocha. There's no permanent resting of the object in Rishus HaRabim on a makom hanocha. Om Rabbi Yochanan, bidvela shmeina shaninu. We've had this in the past, and it means that he's got this thick, sticky piece of a cake which is made of figs. We'll call it a fig cake. And it gets stuck on the kosel. It doesn't jump off the kosel. And therefore, it is considered anocha, and it's below 10 tfachim in Rishus HaRabim. Now, if you read the Mishnah carefully, the Mishnah says, Hazorik arba amos. And l'chora, the Mishnah is not meduyak. What do you mean, arba amos? Arba amos is not enough. Where is the fig? The fig lands within four amos. If we take the Mishnah literally, that it landed four amos away, it means the kosel itself is four amos away. But where is the fig? Imagine writing a Shakespearean play. You know, where is the fig? Well, the fig, my friends, is not four amos away. It's 3.9 amos away, or whatever it might be. So the question here is, why is he chayav? So the Ramban and Tosvis are at loggerheads about this question. The Ramban says, Kevan shakosel Shemunachas olav ha-te'ena omeid chutz li-arba amos chayav. In other words, if you would draw a line from the zrika to the kosel, it's only four amos. We don't care where the fig is. We care where it's nach. And if it's nach four amos away from where he started his Akira when he was Zorek, he's Chayav. And Tosis rejects this. Tosis says, Eino Chayav, Elim Kena Koselu Rochok, Miat Yoser Mi Arba Amos Mi Mokum Shezorak, Shem Mokum Ateino, He Besof Arba Amos. So according to Tosis' Shita, when you measure the distance between the Mokom HaZrika and the Kosel, it's 4.1 Amo. Let's say it's 4 Amos and a Tefach. I'm just making up a number. And the fig itself is 1 Tefach in width. So therefore, when the fig lands, you know, a Dovuk to the Kosel, it is within, beyond 4 Amos, meaning it's already outside of 4 Amos. Why? Because we have that one little tefach distance until we get to the coast. So in other words, the Ramban is of the opinion that we're going to measure the shear of Dalet Amos by the Makom Sha'olav Munach HaChefetz, and the Tosas Yeshita, that is, we're going to measure Dalet Amos by the Makom of the Chefetz itself. And the Makom of the Chefetz, in the Ramban's scenario, is less than Arba Amos. It's within Arba Amos. It hasn't gone the full four Amos. Whereas the Ramban says, let's look at the Makom HaNocha, so that Tosas here is sort of Yodo al HaTachton. He's going to have to reinterpret the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says, Hazorek Arba Amos, it doesn't mean, the way the Ramban interpreted it, that the Kosel is four Amos distant, but rather it means that the Chefetz that he was Zorek is four Amos. And therefore the Merchak to the Kosel, according to Tosis, is a little bit more than four Amos. Om Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Om Rab Chia. Okay. Zorak Lemala Me'asora. He threw it in Rishus HaRabim above Asora Tefachim. So certainly, in terms of the flight of the object, it's above Rishus HaRabim. It's outside of Rishus HaRabim. But V'holcha V'nocha B'char Kolshehu. So you have a kosel that is 10 Tefachim plus high, and he throws an object in Rishus HaRabim, and it lands in one of the chorim of the kosel. And this whole tradition that dates all the way back to Rabbi Chia is that Bonu Machlokas Rabbi Meir v'Chachomim. Now, Rabosai, I have to take a little break and say a Shira Malos here, because I'm hoping that I understand this machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, and that I can explain it. This machlokes, which is called Chokin Lahashlim or Ein Chokin Lahashlim, is a machlokes in the laws of Mezuzah. And the question is, do we have a Pesach in the case that we're going to describe, that's chayav in mezuzah? Because the Pesach that we're talking about is an archway. It's a round Pesach. So if you'll give me just a minute, I have here a diagram for the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim. Just one second. Now I just have to find it. Okay. So this is called Chokikin Lahashlim. So what do we have over here? We have a case where he has a Shar Agol, right? An archway that's round on top. So it's not a rectangular shape. It's got a top that's round. And again, the question is whether you chayv in mezuzah. Now, we're going to go through the various measurements of the height and the width. There's a question about the width on the bottom, a question on the width on the top. And we'll go through, Beli Neder, the details. But just bigadol, the only way that we could cut out a Pesach here for Chiyuv Mezuzah, since it's not rectangular, it's arched on the top, is what's called Chokikim. We have to sort of imagine a rectangle by sort of chipping away. I don't mean it literally, I'm talking conceptually. This is all an imagination. But the law will allow Ke'ilu chipping away at the two sides of the top of the archway to convert a circle, or a semicircle in this case, to a rectangle. That's going to be a machlokas tanoim. And then afkamid is going to be whether you chayev in mezuzah. So if you take a look at the Mesoras HaShas, just let me see if I can find this. It, I think it's number Vav over here. No, I don't see it right now. Oh, yeah. He says, does it say Yuma? I don't know. I'm not. Why don't I see Yuma over here? It's a the Sugya Mezuzah is in Masechet Yuma. All right. Anyway, I'm not finding it right now in the Mesoras HaShas, but maybe you'll see it. It's in Masechet Yuma on Daf Yud Aleph Amid Beis, and the name of this Sugya, which is again a Shara Agol, is called Kippa. Kippa means it's like a, you know, round on top like a yarmulke, right? Now, what's the height of this kippah? It's 10 tefachim high. So far, so good. Because if it's 10 tefachim high, then l'chora, it has at least one of the ingredients for a chiyuv Pesach and a chiyuv Mezuzah. However, the problem is that you need a rochav of 4 tefachim in order to be a Pesach for mezuzah. Now on the bottom, where it's rectangular, you indeed have 4 tefachim. But as you climb up, and the Pesach now curves in both the right and the left in the semicircle, so you lose the rochav of 4 tefachim. So I'm going to read to you the Lashon HaShas, and then we'll come back to our Gemara. Omar Abaye, Hakol Modim, She'im, I'll add a few words, Kippa Zu, Gvoa Asora, the Ein Biragleha, it doesn't have on the bottom, he calls that Ragleha, Rochav Arba Tefachim, or alternatively, Inami Yesh Baragleha Arba Tefachim, but Ein Begavoh Asara Tefachim, is Lo Klum. Everybody agrees in this case, less mind the pole you put from Mezuzah, because it's lacking one of the following two preconditions that are absolutely critical. Number one, it's lacking the Rochav Arba, although it has Gavoa Yud, and we were talking about Tefachim here, or alternatively, it is Rochav Arba, but it doesn't have Gavoa Asara. Ki Pligi, where do we have Machlok Shin Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim? And that's a case of Yesh Baragleha, he has an opening on the bottom, a space of Rochav Arba Tefachim. He has Gavoa Asara, but Ein Rechav Arba Tefachim B'Gavoa Asara. Now, although he has a width of 4 Tefachim on the bottom, when he gets up on top to a Rochav Asara, it gets narrow before it hits the Gavoa Asara, and he doesn't have a Rochav of 4 Tefachim. So I'm looking at the diagram here, and we have the following. We have two diagrams, which are Pshita Lekuli Alma, that there's no chiyuv sukkah. He calls it here in the Masifta Tziur Hey and Tziur Vav. So in Tziur Hey, right, in Tziur Hey, he shows you, you know, he marks off that if you take a measuring from the bottom all the way to the top where the Pesach hits the spitz, you have Gavoa Asara Tefachim. However, at some point before he gets to the Gavoa Asara Tefachim, he loses that width. So it's very wide on the bottom. It gets more narrow as you climb towards the top. And at some point, before he gets to the gova of 10 tfachim, it's pachos midal tfachim. That's not a Pesach. Now he has case number two. He calls it Tzir Vav. And here, what happens is that although he has four tfachim, but he's missing a gova of 10 tfachim. Just one second, let me just make sure. Right, so he has four tfachim. It's a little bit small for my eyes here. Just give me a second. Right, so again, in the first case, he's missing arba tfachim, but he has the gova of 10 tfachim. In the second case, that's all also clear that it's not a Pesach, because when he hits the spitz all the way on top, although it's very wide, it's not 10 tfachim high. So the ceiling, so to speak, of this kippah from the inside of the Pesach is less than 10 tfachim. That's what it says, pachos me'asor tfachim. Okay. So now he's got Seir Zion, and that's the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. So it says the following. He's got Yesh Beragleha Chalal Rachav Arba Tfachim. Okay. And as you go from the ground up, you hit what's called Shlosha Tfachim. And at this point of Shlosha Tfachim, he's got a rochav of Asar Tfachim. Now the kippah on top is already 10 Tfachim high. But what's the problem here? He says when you hit 10 Tfachim, it's no longer 4 Tfachim wide. So again, in the first case, it became very narrow. And in the second case, although it didn't become narrow, but the spitz was less than 10 tfachim high. In the third case, you have at one point, which we said was dalet tfachim high, I'm sorry, was 3 tfachim high, you have dalet tfachim in rochav. However, And let me add, you have on the top of the archway, you have 10 tfachim in gova. However, and just reading this to you, he says, Keep ligi, b'yesh brag leha chalal rochav arba tfachim begova shloshet tfachim, ubegvoa hi asar tfachim im ha'igul amala, the Ein Rechava Arba Tfachim Begova Asara. In other words, before you hit the height of 10 Tfachim, it already gets narrow. V'nasei Sara, Kodim Shetagia Legova Asara Tfachim. V'yesh Ba Berochav Haksolim Shebetstadim Mokom Kedei Lachuk Lachkok Bekir. Ularabea esha igul. So this archway has a wall, and if you would chisel out the wall, and then what you would have after you chisel the wall is you would have 4 tfachim width at the gova of 10 tfachim. Lashlima esha pesach. L'rochav arba tfachim begova asar tfachim. Is Rabbi Meir sovar chokikim lahashlim? Is Rabbi Meir holds that even though it gets narrow before it hits the 10 tefachim, but nevertheless, it has what he calls a haschol of a Pesach, right? Because already at shlosha tefachim of height, he has a roch of a rabbah, and lamala yesh gova asorat tefachim, he has 10 tefachim, and if you look at the kosel, he has a rochav of 10 tefachim, I'm sorry, of 4 tefachim at the height of 10 tefachim. Again, if you look at the archway, the empty airspace, then it becomes less than 4 tefachim before it hits the 10 tefachim. Says Rabbi Meir, Donim kilu nechcha chakir v'nisrachev, we look as if he chiseled out, and the Pesach becomes wider, even up on top. So in other words, we're imagining an imaginary rectangle, and Yeshalov Shem Pesach v'chayev b'mezuzah. Why? Because when he gets to 10 tefachim, he ke'ilu has a rochav of arba tefachim, if you chokim la'ashlim. V'rabbanan Savri ain't chokim la'ashlim, and therefore ain't kan shir Pesach, which is a rochav of arba tefachim, begova asor tefachim. And therefore he's potter from mezuzah. So imagine if this archway would start getting narrow after it hits 10 tefachim in height. Then everybody would agree, even the chacham would agree, yachayv and mezuzah. Why? Because I don't have to cut out a rectangle. I have a rectangle that has a width of 4 tefachim and a height of 10 tefachim. And therefore I have a Pesach and I'm chayv mezuzah. The problem with this particular kippah is that it starts getting narrow, less than 4 tefachim in its width, before it hits 10 tefachim. And Rabbi Meir says, but we can look at this this archway, this semicircle, as if it were a rectangle, and we can imagine as if we, again, only if there's room in the kosel, but if there's room in the kosel to cut out that piece that would give you a rochav of 4 tefachim at the height of 10 tefachim, then it's called a Pesach in Yechayev in Mezuzah. All right. So now we get back to Hilchas, Zrika, and Meleches Otzah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, and the Mesetra in the name of Rabbi Chia, Zorak Chefetz, which is a Rabbi, Lamal, Me'asar, Tvachim, Ve'holcha, Ve'nocha. Right, so the object that you threw takes a curve, and it goes into a char in a kosel, which is above 10 tefachim. Isbanu lemachlokes Rabbi Meir verabbanon. Li Rabbi Meir di Omar chokin lahashlim. And you're going to be chayev in mezuzah. It means we imagine as if the kosel was cut out in such a way that you have a rochav of arba tefachim at the height of 10 tefachim. Is therefore machayev. Here he would say yachayev. Rabbi Meir would say yachayev in zrika from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid. One second. Why is that so? Because chokikin lahashlim means that we can consider this char in the kosel, which is above 10 tefachim, to be a Rishus HaYochid. Now, wait a second. This is the kash of Rav Chia. How can you consider it as a Rishus HaYochid? We have two conditions to Rishus HaYochid. It's not enough that you have the measurement of gova, of being 10 tefachim high. That would make it into a makom ptur. You also need rochav of 4 tefachim. Now this char, although it's above 10 tefachim in the kosel, but it doesn't have the rochav of 4x4 tefachim. Okay, so again, if it was rochav arba tefachim, kliyamalo pligi, fishoy bichayev, because then he's throwing it from Rosh Sarab into Rosh Sayochim. And this charsha bekosel has the height of yud tefachim, it has the width of 4 tefachim, and therefore it is a Rishus HaYochid Gemurah. That's not the case of Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya is talking about a case where although the Char is above 10 tefachim, but it's lacking the width of 4 tefachim. And now what we're going to do is, we're going to do Chokikin Lahashlim. You remember that Rabbi Meir in Chokikin Lahashlim was able to take a semicircle and make it into a rectangle to allow for a rochav of 4 tefachim. Why? Because we have the gova of 10 tefachim in that kippah. That wasn't the issue. The issue was that we didn't have the rochav of 4 tefachim at that level of 10 tefachim high. We only had at the bottom. So we had to be chokik la'ashlim, and therefore we view the top part of the kippah, which is 10 tefachim high, as if it had the chakika, and we chiseled it out in such a way that at the gova of 10 tefachim, we have a rochav of 4 tefachim. So you can imaginarily create 4 tefachim in width that hits the 10 tefachim in height through the principle of Chokin La'ashlin. And if we apply that here to the case of the Char in the Kosel, which has the 10 tefachim height, but it's lacking the Rochav of 4 tefachim, is then we have a Rishus HaYochid. The Rabbanan D'Amri Ein Chokin La'ashlin Lo Mechayev. And Tanya Nami Hochi Zorak L'malam Yassara V'holcha V'nocha B'cho Kolshu Rabbi Meir Mechayev V'chachomim Potrim. Now, I don't understand one thing here. Chokikin L'hashlim in the case of Rabbi Meir is because at some point in this archway he has 4 tefachim. You remember we said that Rabbi Meir only applied Chokin Lahashlim because at the gova of 3 tefachim, he had a rochav of 4 tefachim. So he had what we call the haschala. Once we have the haschala, then as we go up and we climb to 10 tefachim, we maintain that rochav of 4 tefachim, such that it's rochav 4 tefachim even at the gova of yud, and that's called Chokin Lahashlim. Here, in the case of a char, in the kosel, is there any point in which in this archway, so to speak, this mini kippah, we have a rochav of 4 tefachim? Meaning, am I tempted to say that this entire presentation of Rabbi Chiya is talking about a char that is very, very wide, and it gradually, circles, I don't know, that's such a good word, it gets narrower as it curves towards the top. That's not the impression I get, because, you know, the object that he threw landed on the floor of this char, on the bottom of the char, and there was no 4 tefachim on the bottom of the char. You're now chiseling out here and there in order to make a rectangle out of this char, and you're filling in the missing tefachim that you need to get 4 tefachim. I don't know that Rabbi Meir would necessarily go that far. So I'm just going to read to you a footnote here. He says that Shir HaMachitza, Shir HaPesach, HaChayev B'Mezuzah, Hu Gova Asor Tefachim V'Rochav Arba Tefachim. Now we have a Sha'ar, Ha'osui Kikipa. Nechleku Rabbi Meir V'Chachamim, Hashar eino rochav arvat fachim ela bechelko asamach li oretz. But lamala, who rochav pachos me arvat fachim. Rabbi Meir, ha-pesach chayev b'mezuzah. Biofen sheyesh bo kidei lachkok ad shir arvat fachim. U'rabbanu potter b'mezuzah. And the Gemara tells us that lo nechleku Rabbi Meir v'chachomim ele v'pesach shebishloshes hatfochim asmuchos la'oretz on the bottom close to the ground up to three tfochim u'rochav arba tfochim k'she'eno rochav arba tfochim b'chol shloshes hatfochim begova hasomach la'oretz is gam Rabbi Meir sover she'eno chayev b'mezuzah. So what's going on here with this Chorei HaKosel? So he says that medubar biofen sheyesh bakosel kidei lachkok bo ad arbat fochim. Dahainu sheim yachkok hakosel yehe pesach rachav arbat fochim. Question is, does that solve our problem over here? You know, he's talking about chiseling out of the kosel four tefachim in width. Okay, fine. So I grant you that the kosel is four tefachim wide. I don't have a problem with that. But the chor itself, which you want to be mashlim, and that's where he landed the object, doesn't have a rochav arba tefachim, even on the bottom of the chor. So he writes, "Bepashtus loshen haGemara, holcha v'nocha bechor kolshu mevuor she'ein achor rachav ela kolshu." He admits that, and I think that's the simple pshat that the chor, you know, does not have a rochav of arba amos anywhere, arba tefachim anywhere. It's a kolshu. So imagine we're going to make the char, convert it into a rishus hayachid based on chokin lahashlim, but it doesn't have a rochav of arba tefachim. Somehow it's magically enough that the kosel itself has a rochav of arba tefachim. Now, he says, Ayin Tosvis, Dav Zayin Omid Beis, Dibra Maskel Vaholcha, Shetomu Atosvis, Shrei Af Rabbi Meir, Lo Omar, Chokin Lashem, Evishar Shiesh Bo, Gova Sora Tfochim, Ushlosha Tfochim Atachtonim, Yesh Bem Rochav, Arba Tfochim. That's without the chakika, right? You have three tefachim. You have up to the height of three tefachim, a width of four tefachim. The oz amrinon chokikim kidei sheyich yichoshev kol hashakilu rochav arba tefachim. Aval bechor kol shuhu minayin lonu shavavi meir omrim chokikim lahashlim v'lishus hayochid. How do you know that you make a rishus hayochid when there's no When there's no width whatsoever? It's just a kolshu. It's a little bit of a hole in the kosel. So Baruch Shekivano, you know, we misery loves company. He says, Mishum kach, pirshu atosvis, shekan midubar bekosel, ha'omed, bein rishus harabim, lirishus hayochid. So the kosel is standing between the Rishus HaRabim and the Rishus HaYochid. V'yesh bo chorin shiragilim la'sosam b'shas b'niyas ha'kosel. Gansa engineering story over here. So there are chorim that when they built the kosel, they deliberately made these chorim. Shehem mifuloshim L'chol rochav hakosel. Wow. So he's saying that this was not just a char, you know, sometimes you build a kosel and there are little holes here and there, you know, to put pitkalach in. This was deliberately made with a char, and that char stretches across the entire width of the kosel. And I think what he's saying is that this was a way, I'm not going to say the iria or the municipality, but they wanted to facilitate to make this kosel more user friendly, that people could use the char. You know, they put things there and they come back later, and they, so it's l'chol rochav kosel. And he says it's b'tzad rishus hayochid rochav achar hu arba tfachim el shu holechu miskatzer l'tzad rishus hayochid. So this is like the case of the kippah, it's just that we're pushing it on its side. You know what I mean? It's not the kippah that goes up from bottom to top, but here it's on its side, and we have a char which on the rishus hayochid side is four tfachim, but it gets narrower on the side of Rishus HaRabim. And probably for the reason that he wants to, for, you know, those who live in that Rishus HaYochid, he wants to be able to securely place things in the char. And he doesn't want every Tom, Dick, and Harry in the Rishus HaRabim to get access to that which he hid inside this char. So on the Rishus HaRabim side, it is a kolshu. Nimtza shebechar hachar aroch arbat fachim. In other words, on the Rishus HaYochid side, it has the width of four tfachim, but it's not four tfachim wide straight through for the whole length of the char. So we view it as if the entire char is four tfachim wide. And that's where we apply the principle of chokikin lahashlim. Kevan shechar ze pochos mi pasuach l'shus hayochid. Now we have a char that is 10 tfachim high, 4 tfachim wide through the, employing the principle of chokikin, is dino kirishus hayochid. So even though physically it doesn't have a rochav of arba tfachim straight through the char from beginning to end, but nevertheless, it has the status of rishus hayochid. So basically, we have here a machlokas between the Rashba and Tosfos about the Gemara's analogy to Rabbi Meir. Whereas Rashba is perfectly comfortable with assuming that this char is a char kol shehu, which means that although it's 10 tfachim high, it doesn't have the rochav of 10 tfachim, of 4 tfachim anywhere. But we can create a rishus hayochid out of chokikin l'ashlim. That's the power and the extent, the scope, if you will, the application of chokin l'ashlim, to mamish create a new rishus hayochid out of nowhere. Whereas Tosfos insists, no, on the side of rishus hayochid we have rochav arba tfachim, and therefore as you enter into the char from the private domain, you have rishus hayochid. And now the question is, what's the status of the other side of the char, which faces the rishus harabim? And there it's a small opening. He was able to throw something from Rishus HaRabim into that small opening. Can we consider that small opening part and parcel of the rest of the Chakak, the rest of the Char, which is Rishus HaYochid? But you're going to tell me, wait a minute, on the side of Rishus HaRabim there is no Rochav of Arba Tfachim. That's where Rab Meir comes in. We already have a Rishus HaYochid. We already have the Rochav of Arba Tfachim on one side as it faces Rishus HaYochid. We just need to get it four tfachim wide on the side of the Rishus HaRabim, and that we could do with Chokikin Lahashlim. Now this whole sugya is based on the premise that a Rishus HaYochid needs Rochav and Hanochal Gavi Mokom Dalid. That's against Rav Chisda and Daf Zayin Amid Beis. In any event, if this Kosa would have been, well, the Chor of the Kosa would have been Lamata Me'asar Tfachim, he's not Chayev. Tos says, because a Chor that's below 10 Tfachim is Ein B'nei Rishus HaYochid Mishtam Shim Shon. If it's below 10 Tfachim, it's so low that it's not Nicha, it's not something that's comfortable to use. And it could be also that in this case of a Chor, which is on the border, you know, it's on one side is for Saram, the other side is for Sayachid. So it's Dafka, the B'nai Rishus HaRavim, that'll enjoy the benefit of this Chor. And that's why it doesn't have the status of Chor Rishus HaYachid. Om Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Tel HaMislaket Asora Mitoch Arba. So now we're talking about a situation of a slope. Okay, a slope. And we have a tail, right? So a tail is, I guess you could say, is a little mountain. And gradually, it's mislakate. You know, I guess you could use the word, it accumulates a height of 10 tfach within a span of 4 tfach. V'zarek v'nochav al gabov chayav. In other words, it's considered a rishus hayochit. And on the one hand, it has the measurement, the requirement of 10 tfachim height. However, it steeply inclines on its sides, and along its top, it's considered rishus hayochid. And again, it stands in rishus harabim. And the slopes are going to be treated as if they were upright walls. So it means that although the slopes must be inclined steeply enough to make walking upon them inconvenient, which is called onicha tashmishte, otherwise we would simply view the slopes as surface of rishus harabim, Chazal determined that a slope that rises to a height of 10 tfachim within a span of 4 amos is inclined too steeply to be convenient for walking. However, if you had an incline that was less profound, let's say, for example, it reaches a height of 10 tfachim over 5 amos, then it's easy to walk on, and the top of that mound is considered part of rishus harabim. So we have a very beautiful diagram here in the Masifta, where you see that you have this mound, and it's got this incline. So there's 4 amos in the width, but it has an incline. It goes up to 10 tefachim, and according to Rabbi Yehuda Marav, it has the status of rishus hayochid. That's called a tel hamislaket. So it's nechshav kilu amokom ha-meshupa kulo zakuf u-makif es rosh ha-tel v'nechshav rosh ha-tel rishus ha-yochit. Now the 4 amos that we measure along the slope itself, not along the imaginary plane beneath the slope. And this is, as we have seen in the past, a kind of imaginary rishus hayochid. So he writes here, shamokom hagavoa shebetel nechshav rishus hayochid. And Rashi and the Miri say that Rav's statement of tel mislakit asor mitoch arba is lo omar kakidei lemay tel hamislakit asor mitoch yoser merba shim ena tel magbia asorat fochim. Rak achar yoser me'arba amos nechshav atel kechelik mishus harabim sh'ba'ofen zeh hu mokom noach litashmish kechelik mishus harabim. Aval im atel magbia asor tfochim v'pochos me'arba amos izvarish af atel kazeh rishus hayochid sh'rei tel kazeh hu pochos noach lahalich bo mi mislakit asor mitoch asor. So that's what we have over here. Now, the tail itself, we said, was 10 amos. And it's mislaket asura mitoch arba. So within a span of 4 tefachim, it inclines and reaches that that height of 10 tefachim. And in a sense, that length of 10 tefachim is really the length of the bottom of this tail, if you follow what I mean. Of this tail of mislaket. And the chiyuv here is because nechshav ki'ilu ha-mokom ha-meshupa kulo zakuf. In other words, it's as if we imagine that the area that steeps is vertical, it's standing up. U'makif es rosh ha-tel. And therefore the rosh ha-tel is considered a rishus hayoch. Okay, then we'll stop here. So let's make a note of where we got up to here on Daf Kuf Amid Aleph. And we started the sugya Omer Rav Yehuda Marav Tel HaMislaket, which I would say, if you count up from the bottom of the Amud, it's probably around 15 lines up from the bottom. And we'll finish up this shtickle tomorrow, and then we'll get to the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Kuf Amid Aleph.